Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Today's episode of You're Welcome is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter will post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidate and invites them to apply. Then they review every application to identify the top candidates so you never miss a great match. That is what makes ZipRecruiter different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidate finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post at ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire. Guys, go to ZipRecruiter.com right now. You can do this for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen, and you can post on their site for free for being a loyal listener. Now, I have to tell you guys, I always start the show. Today's show would normally start like this. Happy Friday. Welcome to another episode of You're Welcome. But in full disclosure, it is about, let me look at the clock. It's about 12 minutes after 11 p.m. I am in at Thursday night. So the show will go till about midnight Friday morning. I'm in a hotel in California. And we've got weigh-ins in about 10 hours. Weight is not an issue for me. First time ever in a fight, which is making me feel a little weird for whatever reason. But part of my process is going through the weigh-in process, dealing with some of those struggles, dealing with some of those disciplines, those discomforts that make me cranky and angry. Those are gone. I don't have them. So I'm trying to get in the right frame of mind here, but this is a little bit new. It's a little bit new for me. You know, the one big thing that really lets my body and mind know, it's competition as opposed to practice, is the weigh-in. So I'm without that. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. I feel like it is. I do feel like it is, but I don't know that I'm right. I won't know until the match is completed on Saturday. So, little change. This happened a week ago, but Rampage and I have always been the co-main event. I thought, and I think I'm right on that. No one officially told me that, but I saw the poster. And the welterweight champion, Douglas Lima, defending against top contender Rory McDonald, was bigger. They were bigger and higher up on the poster than Rampage and I were smaller and underneath them. Well, that's how main event and co-main event is done. So I think I'm right, but nobody actually told me that. All I know, I guess here's what I'm trying to tell you. Rampage and I will fight last. So we are the main event. I don't have much of an opinion on that. It doesn't affect my life very much. Other than, if you're the main event in California, you are given 4 corner passes for cornermen. Everybody else is given 3. So it did change my corner in a positive way. I haven't fought less than main event since 2013. So I had to exclude a corner man. And that was an awkward conversation. Hey, coach, you came on last, so because we lost your pass, let's just go in order here, and you got to sit this one out. Well, that's weird, and it's rude. And it's also necessary. There's nothing that can be done. Bellator can't step in and make a, it's a commission call. So I had that conversation, a cornerman that I really wanted there. And he was great about it, but at least I got to unwind that and reinvite him. It won't affect Rory and Douglas. Not only does main event get 4, title fights also get 4. So by example, they didn't get this news and then have to go to somebody and say, listen, you're the odd man out. They didn't have to do that. So I guess that's my thoughts on that. I've been asked about it a few times. I don't have much much more than that. I can't really get enveloped if it went for me or if it went against me. It's just, it is what it is type situation. Compartmentalize it and move on. I've been doing DDP yoga. New year, right? 2018. I made two resolutions. DDP yoga was one. My first resolution, I'm off the snooze button. I would always hit the snooze button. Sometimes I would even set two alarm clocks. You know, let's say I had to be up at 7. I would set an alarm clock for 6, turn it off, and then the other alarm, I use my phone, the other alarm at 7 would go. Or if I was to get up at 6:30, I would just hit the snooze button a couple of times and get up at 7. All right, you guys get the point. I'm sure plenty of you guys do it. And I was feeling tired. Just throughout the day, I was a little bit tired. And this had been my process for years. And I thought, well, I wonder if I change this process, if I'll have more energy. I had nothing to base it on. This is just, I just thought, okay, this isn't working. Let's try something different. So now I set the phone on the other side of the room. And the second the phone goes off, I get out of bed, turn it off, get in the shower, get dressed. Whatever I do after that's up to me. But that's the resolution. The resolution is the second the alarm goes off, I spring up, hit a shower, and get dressed. Usually turns into a cup of coffee and turn the news on and get my routine going. But that's all up to me. Whatever I want to do after that. And I'll tell you, I do have more energy. And it's not placebo effect. It has given me more energy to just spring up right out of the gate and prepare my day. I'm sharing that with you guys just in case anybody else is like me and you're kind of dragging a little bit in the morning. And this isn't going to change your life. I'm not talking about all of a sudden I'm full of energy. I'm just noticing that I do have more. The kickstarting my day, I have a little bit more. And secondly, I've been wanting to do DDP yoga for a while. I wanted to get into yoga. I kind of thought yoga was weird. And I was a little embarrassed to go to the classes because they were predominantly women in the classes. And then that guy or two that pops in is usually in there because there's nothing but women in the classes. And so I just never joined a studio. There's one by my house. I just never did it. Machita was telling me about it years ago. And then I knew DDP, and he got into this thing called DDP yoga, and he put his own spin on it. And it's very close to yoga, but he does have his own spin. And it's also just something that I can travel with. I bring it up because I'm sitting in my hotel room here, and I'm staring at the mat. I've got the DDP yoga mat on my floor. So I'm being disciplined. I'm springing up with no snooze buttons, and I'm sticking to the yoga. I like it. I like it so far. I will tell you, one of the reasons I do MMA, one of the reasons I've stuck with MMA, is I do like the social aspect of it. I do like to go to the gym. That's where I see the guys. That's where I visit with people and catch up on current events. But it's also that support. I know several athletes that have done different than I do, and they don't do a team atmosphere. It's just them. Well, Rampage. Rampage would be an example where he has his own coaches, he gets his own facility, he brings in a couple of training partners, and that's it, and he does his own thing. And that is a boxing mindset. Muhammad Ali did that, Mike Tyson did that, lots of guys do that. I just prefer the social aspect of being in a team, having that conformity, doing what the other guys are doing, seeing who can outwork who, seeing those. I kind of like having those guys around me. But the one thing with this DDP yoga, I am doing it privately. Like even today when I did, I'm sitting here in my hotel room, so I told DDP, man, I want to do this. I don't want a sponsorship. I don't want to sell anything for it. I just want to do a real straight kind of documentary style. But you got to give something to my listeners. And the hope for me is that the listeners will do it and we can all get on social media and kind of collectively push and make sure that we're all staying on track. So if anybody does want to join me, DDP was nice enough to give 20% off for any of my listeners. Just go to ddpyoga.com/chale. Save 20%, but let's share our stories and let's see how this works. Good or bad or indifferent. Maybe we won't have the same experience that Machida did. Chris Jericho, another one. Scott Hall, Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm name dropping a little bit here, but those guys all had real positive experiences. It's what got me involved. But if we don't, we'll tell that side of it too. So I'm only 3 weeks in, which constitutes 8 workouts so far. But I'm enjoying it.
Hey, this is Jim Litke, host of 8B Sports Weekly, where we harness the shoe leather, insight, and experience of some of the smartest reporters in the business to bring you the news. I've been an 8B Sports columnist since 1989 and covered every major championship around the globe multiple times and crossed paths with some of the greatest athletes of our time. And now I'm excited to bring you a weekly recap of the most interesting happenings in sports. So make sure to download new episodes of 8B Sports Weekly every Tuesday on PodcastOneSports.com, the new Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
So I want to get into this. I want to break down the Bellator card a little bit because there's just so many good matches. You know, you got Michael Chandler fighting again. He's trying to get back on track. I think Michael Chandler's the best guy we have under contract. And he lost to my teammate. He lost to Brett Primus. And sometimes when I say that about Chandler, I feel like I got to qualify because I would never slide Brent Primus. He's the champion. He beat Chandler. I don't ever want it to come off like that. I just look at Chandler's skills and go, wow, I really like what he's doing. I like how hard he's pushing. I like some of the chokes and the positions he goes for, even when he doesn't get them. I see how it takes energy out of the opponent. I see how it makes the opponent react. That's my best defense, too. My best defense is having a good offense. When I'm on the offense, I don't have to worry about defending things. It's when you slow down a little bit. It's when the guy gets the jump on you and gets you to certain positions, and now you got to react to him. And, you know, MMA is a sport. You can sit there and analyze it all you want, but when all the smoke settles, it's real simple. This is a dance, and one person is going to lead at a time. You want to be leading more than your opponent. That's where footwork comes in. That's where feints come in. That's where setups come in. That's where attacks come in. That's where the jabs and the crosses and the ring control and the head position get into the tie-ups. That's where these things come in. If you're doing this, if you can be a little bit faster, you're going to have a good chance to lead the dance. The other guy's got to react to you. But that's what the game is. That's what you're out there playing. The rest of it is just good, rough brutality. And as many people as want to say this isn't a brutal sport, I don't know what in the hell they're watching. If two guys getting in a cage half naked with a mouthpiece and gloves on and extremely limited rules doesn't qualify as brutal, I don't know the definition. I just don't think we have to apologize for it. So, I've been a little lonely out here. My wife stayed home. She generally comes, but we have a newborn in the house. And traveling with a newborn, that was just a little bit logistically more of a hassle than we wanted to take on. So she stayed behind, so I'm kind of out here by myself. I came out early, came out on Monday. Travel day is usually Tuesday for some media, but there wasn't an overwhelming amount. You know, even if you stay busy with media, you're doing a 15-minute spot would be a huge spot. Like when I went on the Jim Rome show, by example, it was 7 minutes. That's very long for MMA. And the only reason I got 7 minutes is because of my relationship with Jim Rome. I can remember the first time I did his show. Put this in perspective for you guys. First time I did Jim Rome was 2010. Now, what was interesting is there had only been one MMA fighter prior to me going on there ever, and that was Brock Lesnar. Show you guys how fast this sport's grown and how quickly. But no major guys were covering MMA. And when Jim Rome started doing it, I mean, you rolled out the red carpet. Anything he needed to do, you did. And I remember going into the studio to do it, and the PR person with me was Jen Wink. And she told me, the only person to ever get on this show until now is Brock. And Brock got 2 minutes and 36 seconds. And when I popped on there, I got just over 4 minutes. But that was a big win. It was a big win at that time. So now the fact that I can get 6 minutes on Jim Rome, okay, great in terms of competing with other guys in MMA, but that's all you get on those live shows. They got full segments. So the point I guess I'm trying to make to you is I've been a little bored. They think I'm full of media and running around. Bellator keeps thinking, oh, thanks for working so hard for us. Go, working so hard? I'm sitting here on my ass speaking into a microphone. Man, that isn't hard work. If my father was resurrected, he was a plumber. He got up and worked. He worked hard every day. I can't say I'm working hard sitting here speaking, but I am happy to speak to all of you. And as I look at that card, I really do like Douglas and Rory. Douglas is over with me. Douglas is champion of the world. This guy had been a highlight reel for a couple of years. And he's kind of the Verdum, the Fabricio Verdum of Bellator. And why I make that comparison is Verdum wants to be on the ground. Verdum is one of the most skilled submission and ground artists in all of MMA. And that's where Lima wants to be too. However, Verdum got so goddamn good with his hands and his feet and his knees that he doesn't even go to the ground in every fight. It's every three or four fights he hits the floor. And Lima's gotten that same way. So I'm sold on him. I'm not positive he can beat Rory. I'm also sold on Rory McDonald. That's just a fight I really want to see. And I will tell you, before the placement of the card got shuffled, and I got thrown on last, I was looking back. I was looking forward to being in the back, getting myself a ice-cold Coca-Cola big enough to swim in, a nacho, and being a fan and getting to just kick back and watch that fight. I really think it's going to be something special. If Rory beats him, Rory is so fun to watch. Okay, great. If Lima beats Rory, and he's the champion. The champion should not have to have a coming out party somewhere along the way of defending his championship, but it is the reality. If Lima beats him, that's going to be whoa. I mean, wow, right? You guys agree with me. He is the underdog, but he is the champion. He's the most disrespected champion I've ever seen in MMA. I've never seen anything like this, where a guy can just keep beating a who's who in decisive fashion and get slighted. And the problem Lima's got is he's a nice guy. And the rules of the playground are not above the rules of MMA. If you don't have some edge and a chip on your shoulder, you just aren't respected the same. You aren't feared the same. I watched George St. Pierre go through it, and even though he did great for business and made a ton of money and sold a bunch of tickets, he was never feared in any circles, even though he had the most skills. Because he looked nice and he had a smile on his face. He just seemed like a decent guy. He's the biggest stone cold killer that's ever stepped in there. Lima might be as well. He's on the Bellator side, but he might be the biggest killer to have ever gotten in. I don't know. We're going to have to see. I mean, Rory, this is a special fight. It's a special night, but I think there's a special story there. And I could just tell you, I was looking forward to sitting back and enjoying it. Now I'm going to be trapped in a concrete room with a little mat on the floor, hoping there's a little oxygen left in the tunnel by the end of the night, getting ready for my own match. So, and I don't know what to make of Rampage. I heard from some of his training partners that his strategy is to back up and put himself against the cage. If he does that, he's very hard to take down. It's very hard to stop a guy. I'll use this by an example. In wrestling, it's so effective to just back up and not engage with a guy. It's so effective at stopping the other guy's offense that they made it illegal. They'll call that stalling in wrestling. You must stand your ground or go forward, or you will be penalized. So I can tell you as a wrestler, if Rampage is going to back up and not engage me, it's a problem. It creates a big problem for me. And I haven't spent a ton of time working on that because Rampage isn't a guy that does that. He comes forward, seek and destroy. That's what I was ready for. So if he switches that up on me, I guess I'll be glad that I got that information. Have a little time to process it. Have a little time to come up with a plan. But it'll be interesting. We'll see if I got accurate info or not. See what Rampage is going to do. Guys, if you're looking to buy a car, and it doesn't matter if it's new or it's just new to you, use TrueCar. Here's how it works. Go on virtually through something the kids call the internet. Go to TrueCar.com. Download the app if you're on a smartphone. When you get ready to buy, the comfort of wherever you are with your fingertips, type in the kind of car you want, year, the make, the model, type in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. You will then be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. There's over 11,000 of them just in this country. You will work out the price. Most people are saving over $4,000 off of the MSRP. When you get to the dealership, you'll know what your obligation is, and then you will know what their obligation is. They will have your car. You will save time. True Car. Please forgive me for being short and to the point, but I'm sure you guys can understand my situation. I got work to do. I got business with Rampage. And I got to go do my job. I will tell you this. I'll leave you with this. Bellator did a countdown show. In the countdown show, I dropped a poem on them. When they put the poem out, they used the first stanza and the last stanza. And my poem was lost. So I'm going to hit it for you guys now. On January 20th, fans will look on in shock as I knock out Quentin Jackson and whip out my clock to check and make sure the bookies are still open. My fans cashing in and the books paying out moping. You see, I set a promise I was dead set on keeping to leave the cage early and leave Rampage sleeping. At least he'll have dinner when I serve him a punch. Those A-team residuals won't cover lunch. But enough about him. He'll be face down. Allow me to handicap the rest of these clowns. Fedor, with no help from the refs or promotion, will sink twice as fast as a stone in the ocean. Unless he calls Putin and they roll a tank in, that washed-up old jobber's got no shot to win. Mitrione's big and he's tough but not crafty. There's a big empty space between his ears that's quite drafty. So he'll come in unarmed and get blown to bits if he tries to engage old Cha-Cha in a battle of wits. I like Roy Nelson's chances if, on the day, we're not in the cage but at the buffet. I don't want to fat shame him or sound like a jerk, but at All You Can Eat is where he does his best work. King Mo's quite impressive, but isn't it a pity? He wears a plastic crown that he bought at Party City. And why does he wear it, that crown that he bought? To cover his bald head or hold in his one thought? Bader's a wrestler, so I kinda like him. But if he advances, you can count on me to spike him. I saved Mir for last. He's beat some of the best. But with his jiu-jitsu, I'm less than impressed. As an ascended grandmaster with the rare coral belt, I'll turn up the jits heat and Frank will wither, then melt. I'm here to win, and the one power I wield is I am Chael Sonnen, and they are the field. They would never choose to face me if they had their druthers, because I'm better than some and I'm tougher than others. But on one point, they can't all agree. If they collectively brainstorm, they ain't smarter than me. So I'll drag them along, promote, and be funny, because they couldn't draw bees if I dipped them in honey. We all have our place in the sport, gym, and home. They'll do more push-ups, and I'll write more poems. These are all great opponents. These are men to fear, but fans pay to see Sonnen, and that's why I'm here. So I'll bring in the fans, like me or love me. At the end of the day, no one's ever been above me. A lot of guys fight, but promoters all see. You want a full building that night? You just come to me. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Miller, and I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast, Red Circle Sports, right here on Podcast One. I'll be recapping the weekend's most exciting sports stories, and I'll bring them to you every Tuesday. Plus, hear me chat with some of my favorite sports industry guests like Rich Eisen. So be sure to subscribe to Red Circle Sports with me, Dennis Miller, on the Podcast One app at podcastone.com or on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Be there or be square.